Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across Northern British Columbia. Our podcast is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program that the Specialist Services Committee, which is a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation from local health authorities. We are casting to you today from the traditional territory of the Kleidlay-Tené First Nation.
You're listening to QualityCast North. I'm Cher Cheery.
And I'm Deanna Danskin.
Now in its seventh year, the Provincial Quality Improvement Initiative of British Columbia, or PQI, is beginning to deliver on its original goals, which were to provide quality improvement training and support to physicians to lead quality improvement projects, build QI capacity, and enhance the delivery of quality patient care. And over the last year and a half, this podcast has been showcasing many of these quality improvement projects. But the PQI initiative also has a broader vision, which is a continuous improvement culture across the province, driving excellence in care for patients and families. How can the initiative take the next steps towards this broader vision? PQI believes that the increasing number of physicians completing its QI training have a key role to play in this. Our guests today are tasked with developing this role. Their titles are the PQI Provincial Co-Champions for Alumni, and their names are Dr. Lawrence Yang and Dr. Hussein Kanji. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, stoked to be here.
Now, before we get into your work and your provincial champion roles, I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about your life journey to where you are today. So can we talk about young Lawrence and young Hussein? What was it like growing up in your home, and how did that influence your journey into medicine? Let's start with you, Lawrence.
Yeah, well, I'm the son of a physician, you know, one of those almost a workaholic physician trained in the 70s. So I was programmed to be a physician ever since I was out of the womb. And I knew when I was 12 that I would be a doctor. And so, it was a lot of hard living, a lot of disciplined living as a child there. Yep, that's me.
Excellent. And Hussein?
Yeah, I came from a bit of a different pathway. I kind of stumbled upon medicine later. I actually thought both of my parents, both an engineer and finance and real estate. So I thought I was going to enter and explore that world. But as I started to learn more about the human body, intrigued by and absolutely fascinated with the miracle of how it actually worked, that sort of fueled my passion into medicine. So took a bit of a circuitous path getting here, and I love the journey and the opportunities that present themselves, one of which, of course, is QI.
Sure. And staying with you, Hussein, can you tell us a little bit about your current practice? What does that look like?
Yeah, thanks. Currently, I spend most of my days and unfortunately many a nights in the intensive care unit. I work primarily out of Vancouver General Hospital, where one of my interests and passions are specific to ECMO or ECLS. Been really passionate about developing some of that programming, and as well as spend some of my time within Fraser at the Royal Columbian Hospital in the cardiac surgery ICU, where I work as well there. Historically did a bit of emergency medicine, but no longer doing that. Also spend some time doing transport and flight medicine as well. So that's sort of my clinical practice in a nutshell.
Interesting combination. And what about you, Lawrence? What does your practice look like?
Yeah, so I'm in my 13th year of practice now as a family physician in Surrey, British Columbia. My practice partners are actually my wife and my two brothers, and then we have a lot of associates. So it's like a family practice. We're kind of inner city. We started off, our first decade was in Whalley, North Surrey, and we just recently, 3 years ago, moved to Newton, which is kind of middle of Surrey, British Columbia. It's longitudinal relationship-based family practice. So we take care of people cradle to the grave. And I also have spent many years working as a physician, admitting my patients to Surrey Memorial Hospital. So yeah, quite a busy lifestyle.
Yeah, that's great. That's really interesting. And so you have your medical and clinical practice, but how did your interests in quality improvement actually develop? And in what form have your quality improvement endeavors taken to date? Let's start with you, Lawrence.
My interest in quality improvement kind of came came about because I was actually having a lot of challenges with patient experiences, and I really care about patient experiences. So my patients would come to me saying that I just came back from the hospital, just discharged, and I didn't have a good experience. And it was a continuous thing. And I realized that there are some system challenges. So I approached the CEO of our health authority, Michael Marshbank at the time, and he said, there's this program called PQRST. It's led by a physician named Jan Kornder and another physician called Kurt Smetcher. You should check it out. And then the next year I was enrolled. There was a nurse there, Angela Texan, who was working in the program, helping out with Kurt Smetcher. And Kurt Smetcher was my first teacher, my first introducer to quality improvement. And so he schooled us. I was in cohort 2 of the Fraser Health PQI program. And I learned so much about PQI and about systems perspectives, about leading teams, and about being more effective as a change agent. And that really made me fall in love with the science of improvement.
Thank you. And what about you, Hussein? Where did your interest in quality improvement develop?
I want to say Lawrence Yang. No. I have to say, I love working with Lawrence because he is such an inspiration and seeing what he's doing. So it's not that I'm just pumping your tires, but it's fantastic. Me specifically, it was a similar journey and process, I think, as I sort of meandered through my early days as sort of faculty or an attending, I think grappled with a lot of pathways within medicine, both being academia, research, clinical practice, but overall being sort of frustrated with perhaps the paucity in what we think is a perfect system, the challenges that patients feel, and trying to sort of overcome that. So it was actually Vinay Dhingra, who is currently sort of the quality chair in critical care, who kind of pushed me in likewise into the program. And I found it was incredibly exhilarating and exciting to be part of this pathway. For the first time, I felt rather than hitting roadblocks, I saw opportunities. And rather than being dismayed, I got excited. And with that passion, I think it's just grown over this time to be involved with this sort of project. It's wonderful when we're surrounded by QI enthusiasts, a term you'll probably hear later as Lawrence will reference to. It's hard not to be enthusiastic about the work and excited. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
Great. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for giving your stories there, and it sets us up nicely for the main part of the interview, which is about the your role. So over to Deanna now.
Yeah, so clearly we've introduced you as provincial alumni co-champions. So when we hear the term alumnus, alumni, most people will think about being a high school alumni or their university alumni after graduation, associated with an academic institution. You probably recall famous alumni that also went to our schools. They always like to pump those up. But in the context of our PQI program and the initiative here in BC, could you guys explain a little bit about who are the alumni? Like, what does that mean? And how do they become an alumni or receive this designation?
Want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead, Hussein.
Sure. It's a very good question. And you're going to have a deliberate pause here because we are actually grappling with that thought right now. Not for the purposes of what we think necessarily it should be, but we want to make sure that we have the highest impact in what we're able to do for the alumni. As you know, there's level 1, 2, 3 alumni, and we feel that, you know, much like school, and you referenced, I think appropriately, you go through school, I think you become an alumnus when you complete the full training. So really, if you are an alumni, I think we may be, and I'll ask Lawrence to comment on his thoughts, but we're grappling through the process of you really become a full-fledged alumni. Now, you can be a partway alumni and people on the process to becoming that. But I think that's where we're headed in terms of really defining. The problem, of course, is that, as we referenced before, our passion, vision, and ethos is really to support, embody, and work together with all QI enthusiasts. So you don't necessarily need to be an alumni to be part of our family of people who want to make positive change. But we want to support those who are passionate enough to finish, complete, and have the expertise such that we can enable that change to the highest ability. So it's kind of a two-part answer. I might turn it over to my friend and colleague here to finish my thoughts.
Sure. Yeah, I want to extend on what you said, Hussein, about there being 3 levels of PQI training. You know, level 1 takes a couple of hours. Level two is generally 1 or 2 days. And then level three often takes a full 10 days plus. So there's quite a lot of increase in commitment as you go from level one, two, and three. Across the province now, we have over 1,600 graduates of each of these three levels. And those graduates consist of almost 1,000 specialists, almost 600 or so family physicians. And of course, there are non-physicians, including patient partners who have graduated from various levels of training. So we're super excited to have so many people interested in the science of improvement. And we have such a huge opportunity to allow them to collaborate, to mix and mingle, to cross-pollinate, and to co-create different solutions for the problems that they know so well from their lived experience in our system. So who are alumni? They're the graduates of the PQI program, and they're anybody who's enthusiastic about improving the system. And we're excited to meet each and every one of them and engage them in connections that'll lead to what we call synergistic win-win-wins in our system.
Yeah, so it's a combination of doing the education and training, but also having that desire to continue to engage with other QI enthusiasts and drive change wherever that might be in your part of the system.
Absolutely.
So maybe we'll continue with you, Lawrence. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you do in your role as a provincial PQI champion for alumni?
Yeah, so every month, Hussein and I, we meet with some of the team in PQI Central, which is sometimes remotely connected team. We use the power of Zoom a lot, just like we are now, and we connect and we try to plan and strategize on how we can best leverage the talent that's coming out of each of the regions in British Columbia. Each of the health authorities that PQI is involved in, we try to figure out what's going on in each one, what can we highlight from each region, and how can we best help people cross-pollinate ideas. So we meet monthly to strategize around that. Hussein, why don't you speak to some of the events that just come to your mind from PQI?
Yeah, I think you gave the 1,000-foot view nicely, and then I guess more specifically is the term you may have actually heard, which I think is important to mention now, is the Synergy Hub. And really just based on exactly that, bringing together people like-minded in a synergistic fashion, in a community sort of centered approach to sort of push things forward. What you're actually going to see coming forward, I hope, is actually defining and pushing a new 5 sort of streams of work within that area. So really being able to engage people specifically in different streams of quality improvement that I think are really important and resonate with me. So, you know, for example, or us, you know, whether you're in sort of a leadership stream, an application stream, a teaching, a connect, learn, different kinds of streams that will be defined for us sort of as Synergy Hub starts to develop. And with that, we want to focus workshops, speaker series, things, and more importantly, even work with obviously, the groups that we call the SHARCs, which are Synergy Hub regional champions, who are just incredible folks who work with you locally and highlight some of, again, what you guys have done, which is incredible, connecting people from across these podcasts, these things. So our job is obviously to come and help bridge some of these divides across the silos of work and help highlight some of what people are doing in different areas, bring communities together. And of course, Lawrence is a incredible mastermind at connecting people and communities. And so we call those horizontal connections. And the other thing we really hope to do within our provincial quality work is create a stronger vertical connection so that to the medical leadership, ministry, and individuals who can actually help make that change that we so really need and we have people passionate enough to deliver.
Yeah, that's great. I love the term synergy, right? The Synergy Hub and the concept of synergy. And I think it's very helpful to have not only local alumni groups, but having a provincial group. It's very inspiring and interesting to hear what people's colleagues are doing in other health authorities. So I wonder, Lawrence, if you can expand, is there a broad vision of what you're hoping to achieve with the alumni sort of provincially?
With the 1,600 plus graduates, we're trying to ensure that if there is energy and if they have gained a lot of skills from the training, which undoubtedly they have, that we provide them a forum to connect with opportunities to, as Hussein had mentioned, there's five streams, to either lead change, either in a formal leadership position, or to apply their knowledge to various QI projects, to continue their learning, to connect with other enthusiasts, or to become faculty to teach quality improvement, because it's still the minority of people who understand quality improvement science, and it's such a wonderful, flexible science that can be applied to so many things. So that's really our strategy, to ensure that we're continually engaging those who have already invested time and energy into learning, such that they have opportunities to impact quality improvement in the province. Because now they have the theoretical knowledge. Many of them have done learning action projects where they've experienced some of and tried out some of the tools that they've learned. And now let's let them actualize even more improvement in our system. That kind of project really excites me. Did I miss anything, Hussein? Anything that come to mind for you?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think it's obviously to enable, again, part of the, I guess, the posse that I see maybe is that there are individuals who are excited about this. They get the training and education, and then they fall to the fray. And not having a hub, again, or a community or an opportunities like the streams that Lawrence has identified for them to continue to stay involved, get engaged. And the other, again, big one that I'll sort of repeat is, I think it's our responsibility, I hope, or at least our vision, to connect them with leadership so that we can have that bi-directional relationship, so that leadership knows about this incredible pool of people who can make incredible change in our province. But I don't think, personally, at this point in time, they know about this. If they knew more of who Synergy Hub, these QI enthusiasts who are ready, excited, and passionate to make the change, that they would employ them, that they would use them. And that also bridges the divide between us and them. It should be we, right? And I think that's part of our vision collectively.
Thank you for sharing that strategy, which sounds like you're trying to sort of leverage a network effect amongst the community of quality improvers and alumni across the province. Do you see your role as more as supporting individuals in their endeavors and engagement with their workplaces and the health authorities? Or do you see a broader role for the community as a whole in engaging with the provincial healthcare system? I'll start with you, Lawrence.
Yeah, I think a lot of the work, so Hussein and I have kind of have a little bit of a role scope. Our scopes are slightly different. So as Hussein mentioned, we have a group we call the Synergy Hub, and Synergy Hub exists in in-person meetings, also on WhatsApp chat groups, also in a Facebook chat group. The Facebook group is called Canadian Health and Care Quality Improvement Network. So if anybody wants to check out that group on Facebook, you have to be a QI enthusiast to join in British Columbia. I do a lot of that community connection work that you mentioned, kind of connections where peers can share their learnings, share their project poster, or share their aim and share their change ideas that have been working. And then people can say, have curiosity and learn more about it and try to see if it applies to their own context. And then Hussein, in terms of matching individuals with opportunities in the health authority, what might you be able to offer some of those vertical connections pieces around?
That's great. It's usually me trying to put you on the spot, but you're doing it to me now. So well done. Well played. He learns well. I always think the term, and it's a bit of a nebulous answer right now, but I'm going to say, are we doing individuals? What resonated with me was that quote, that think globally, act locally. And so with that global vision, our ability to then help enhance and help and support, people like the Sharks, your individual health authorities, individuals who can then start to make those connections. So more of a hub and spoke model I see us as, to enhance already available sort of opportunities out there. And again, it might be actually helping, and again, this is our longer term vision, talking about, what did we actually call it, a resource hub or I couldn't remember, but we really want, for example, individuals not even within their own health authorities, but gosh, is somebody over here doing a wonderful project to connect, whether it be through the process of, I know we need to work closely with SPREAD, but not only that, being able to take those individuals and put them together, likewise, you know, of people in different geographical areas, I suppose, solving the similar problem. And I think what we want to do really is eliminate silos in our system.
Yeah, that's well said, Hussein. And there's a database currently called the Exchange, and you guys might have mentioned it in prior podcasts, the Specialist Services Committee Exchange. Also, Shared Care has a link to the Exchange, which is a database of all the projects that have been run around the province. And it includes a list of who is running the project, what their aim is of the project, and a little bit of contact information. And that can serve kind of as a database of matching who's already working on an idea, and it can be a menu for individuals to connect to their own passions in quality improvement.
So it sounds like you've got a strategy in place, and you've got a nice clear vision for, I think, what you plan for the alumni. But do you foresee any challenges in the implementation phase? Technical or regarding the alumni themselves? Do you see any challenges ahead? I'll start with you, Hussein.
Is that a rhetorical question? You know, there are so many challenges in medicine. And what I like is we always speak frankly. You know, it's like we try to avoid and say medicine can sometimes be the most politically fueled situation. We've got always challenges, and I'll preach more broadly in terms of egos, silos, and systems that are built and predicated on, I don't think, effect. And so our challenge is to break down those specifically, and to anchor back on what I think both Lawrence and I said, and Lawrence said nicely, is that real patient-centric approach to coming together. Technologically, do we have challenges? Absolutely. But I look at them as opportunities right now, because really, I think what's fun for us is that, you know, we have and see this opportunity. We're surrounded by people who want to make change. So I think we're fueled by that. Specifically, of course, I think our biggest challenge, well, one that I think we've identified, one that we're anchoring on, is two things. And I don't know if it's relevant to this podcast specifically, but as we look at our group of alumni, we look at those who have already left the system and who we say have fallen by the fray, and the others who are still engaged. So really identifying, re-engaging people who have sort of already completed and may be there, and keeping those individuals involved who are still part of the system or learning. So I think that's, you know, a big challenge for us right now. And a bigger is going to be, just being very frank, thank you for the comments that we have a strategy in place and we appreciate having been here and trying as hard as we can. But I think our challenge is going to be, how are we making sure that we evaluate and show that we are fulfilling what we're saying we will, or we're making the change, or we're going to connect? So how are we connecting with individuals to show some sort of metrics? So those are two kind of specific challenges that I know we're grappling with specifically, embedded, of course, within other challenges. So I'll stop there. Lawrence?
Yeah, if I might, I'll continue a little bit on that. With how technology is in 2023 and how people like to engage, we've noticed a lot of activity on our Facebook group. We have, in the two Facebook groups around quality improvement and system reform, we have almost 1,500 physicians engaging regularly, and about maybe 50 patient voices and other health leaders all engaging really quite readily. Combine that with the 200 or so on the WhatsApp group, we have just a lot of people with a lot of different ideas and enthusiasm, but we're not actually bringing them all together under one virtual place, a virtual forum for connections, or a virtual think tank. We haven't yet leveraged that, and that opportunity is here. But the challenges are, how do we build this this digital forum? How do we build this synergy hub platform? And we're puzzled around how to do that. How do we do that safely so that people feel psychologically safe? Those in formal leadership feel safe, and maybe our health ministry needs to feel safe. So there are some tricky things that we have to navigate politically as we try to get these big think tank forums going. So that is one of our major challenges. The other one is that who has the bird's eye view of this whole thing? Aside from, it's possible that Hussein and I might have some one of the better perspectives of what's happening provincially, along with our team, Holly Hovland, Dan Angrenong, and our manager, Asia Hollingsworth. They have a provincial bird's eye view perspective on how quality improvement is education is going in our province. And maybe not many other people have that vision. So if other people can't see the landscape, it's hard for them to see the solutions that would fit that landscape. We have, just as anybody else does in healthcare, challenges with engaging physicians and with challenges with really speaking our vision into reality. We feel like we're moving. We feel like people are understanding the opportunities that we might be able to leverage going forward, where we have digital platforms where people share their ideas, where people can express their QI interests and some of their skill set, their training, and matching opportunities to skill sets. That's what really excites me.
That's great. Thank you. Well, I wonder if I can just build on your point here and just zoom out a little bit to a sort of higher level. And go back to this idea of developing this quality culture across the province. You're both two of many champions covering different areas under the PQI Central banner. We've already had Raj Johal talking about publishing. But how do you see your part and particularly the alumni, which you're bringing together, working together towards this greater goal of actual quality culture change driven by PQI. Can you enlighten us a little bit about that?
Sure, maybe I'll start. I think the most influential thing for impacting culture, and I see quality improvement culture as culture that is psychologically safe, where people are not afraid to speak up when they have ideas, because that really accelerates innovation. And so I think modeling that, and Hussein models that fantastically. I do my best to model safety, like vulnerability in leadership, relatability in leadership. I think that's the type of QI leadership that we need. And Hussein and I are intentionally trying to work with some of our champions from each region. We call them the Synergy Hub Alumni Regional Champions, SHARC, the Sharks. We call them the Sharks. And we're really excited about them leading a lot of this change and really bringing their regional perspectives to the provincial level to ensure that we're doing our best at engaging people and creating a culture of innovation. Too many times we see in our system that there are innovations, but the innovations might be kept in a silo because of protectionism or because of a fear of intellectual property losses and stuff like that. But the culture of quality improvement that I see that's right coming out of physician quality improvement is all about free sharing. It's about stealing ideas is a great thing because we need to. We are actually in a crisis in this healthcare system, and anybody with a good idea, we need to be able to share it quickly and rapidly test with some PDSA cycles if it's going to work in our own context. That's what comes to mind first off. I'll pass it back to you.
Okay. Has there been anything to add to that?
I don't know. You've got me pausing and questioning a little bit. I think it's a brilliant question because it actually relates to the previous question, which is what are our challenges? And I think you hit the nail on the head. That's actually going to be probably one of our biggest challenges. I think the ability to actually show, and we're behind, I think, quite a bit, as you referenced, we're in a system that's not ideal, potentially crumbling in different pieces. And I think quality improvement is done so well around the world in so many places and has shown so much value that until we show the value add or have that value add proposition that our leadership sees and the ability and the power, only then will the culture change to embrace quality improvement as a science and a tool that we can use to fix our system. So really, I think I'm constantly in Lawrence. I have these constant conversations. What is our, when we go to our leadership, when we go to our people, what is our value add proposition? Because once they see the value, I think that culture will follow in the way that Lawrence has described it so well.
Yeah, I wanted to also add a little bit more about the culture. The quality improvement culture isn't afraid to try things on a small scale and to fail. And we are so hesitant around failure within our historical medical culture. And so that's definitely part of the culture that we want to have, the getting rid of the idea of perfectionism and realizing that a team doing their best is what we need right now, and not holding back out of fear or a fear of failure. I think it might have been Voltaire who said, don't let perfect be the enemy of good, you know, and that's what we're going for.
So maybe coming back to you, Hussein, what's kind of your favorite thing about being the provincial alumni champion? What's something that stands out as a positive experience? And I wonder if you have any alumni success stories you'd like to share.
I get to be the yin to Lawrence's yang. I haven't used that one before. Lawrence Yang. Honestly, my favorite thing, quite honestly, is being part of QI in every step. As I sort of referenced earlier on, I think we've been bogged down in medicine, and we get stuck often with what we can't do, and the challenges and a bit of frustration, and that, you know, we're in the pattern of we do things in medicine because that's the way we've always done them. I think being in QI is exactly what Lauren said, being able to be vulnerable, excited about pushing the envelope, not being scared, being open, and really making change. And this is the most important part that, for me, I get excited about at the patient level, the patient journey. It's given me the ability to actually refocus my passion and my journey to the patient voice. I spent so long going through, my academic or clinical journey to make sure I know X deferential or prove myself, or being scared of screwing up, or, you know, that sort of pathway. I forgot. I wouldn't say necessarily forgot. Patients were always there, but I realized now the patient journey experience has been my focus, and which is the essence of quality, and has made me excited again to be involved and reignited my passion for medicine, which I've always had. But then again, to work with people at every step in this sort of milieu that continues to ignite and fuel that passion and make it more exciting. So anytime I'm sort of trying to do that work, my first and sort of ongoing passion project is sort of developing, I think, a provincial ECMO program. And that really, again, fuels the fact that we have this technology that's available to save lives. But really, how do we make that accessible to the someone out in St. Elsewhere who, you know, does not have access to that in a timely fashion, so that, you know, we get equitable care throughout, and then thinking further on that. So, yeah, I could keep going, but I know Lawrence will certainly have more thoughts on that, too.
Yeah. And how about you, Lawrence? I mean, obviously you're both very passionate. You probably have many reasons and favorite things that you like, but if you could pinpoint one or two things that really kind of get you excited about this work as an alumni champion for the province.
Thank you. One of the things that really excites me about working in this portfolio around engaging alumni and ensuring that they're connected with each other is that I get to see new connections happen. I get to see a graduate from Interior Health connect with someone from the Lower Mainland and share an idea that sparks interest. And then they go off and have a side conversation. And then soon enough, I see them doing a webinar together on something. Like, those are some amazing collaborations that are happening through our alumni connection events. So that really stokes my fire. I'm also super excited. Our central team, which includes Jennifer Atchison in QI Impact and Dan Angrinon and Holly Hovland, they're planning some really awesome themes for these next few years. And some of them are around planetary health. Some of them are around health equity for cultural safety, including topics around LGBTQIA2S+ equity and cultural safety. And there's also the topic of patient partnership. One of your guests who's been on your podcast before, Dwayne Jackson, has volunteered to help us in our provincial portfolio. So I'm really excited about him coming and teaching us around cultural safety and humility, as well as a volunteer partner, Andrea Zorich, who's also helping us. So our health system is not yet hit the threshold of where we need to be in patient partnership, really understanding what it feels like to be a patient using our health system. And that's really what brought me into quality improvement work, core patient experiences. So I'm super excited about the elevation of the patient voices in our system, because I think that's going to create the culture that we need for sustainable, high quality care.
Yeah, that's awesome. Making it more patient centric. And then I think it's great too, because we're drawing on patient partners that have engaged with our program a lot. And it's like, again, developing stronger partnerships and utilizing them more. You know, sometimes we have patient partners, they just briefly consult and then we don't see them again. So it's really nice to have them, if that's what they want to do, more involved in like ongoing work and like that larger system level stuff that you mentioned. So we're going to talk a little bit more about just kind of what do you enjoy about practicing medicine and living life in BC? We'll start with you, Hussein.
There is so much. It's amazing because I reflect on this almost every day, if not every week, when I'm in the ICU. Say, if you paid me all the money in the world, I'd still go to work and walk down the halls. And I feel so incredibly honored, really, and lucky to be working with such an incredible team, being able to do the work and being involved with patients and their families in some of their most vulnerable moments. So for me, that's a real honor. It's an incredible, it's what drives me, and the team that I get to work with within medicine, you know, the passion you see at the bedside by the nurses, the physiotherapists, the pharmacists, you know, the social workers, on and on. Everybody's so committed. So, you know, during the pandemic and elsewhere, no matter what happened, you would see people going in, and that commitment to life, to patients, to families was so inspirational to me. And I'm in awe that I get to call that work. That's my big driver, and I could go on. Obviously, excited by the science and always being pushed to learn is something that really drives me. Vancouver and life, I guess, you know, I'm staring out right now. I'm lucky to be looking upon a beautiful view of our oceans and mountains. And I get to be up and spending time on the seawall with my children, which makes me smile ear to ear. And sometimes on the mountains going down with their fresh air and being surrounded by wonderful people and friends I call family. So that's it.
How about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, so, you know, when Hussein and I first met, we found out we were in this role together. We came together on a Zoom and we were like, what's important to you? We did the what's matter to you conversation, which is a huge thing, quality improvement. And both of us settled on, you know, we're just spirits having physical experiences in this world. And we also have the fantastic gift of intellects. And we understand that we do better together. We do better in teams, and that quality improvement's a team sport. And so I feel so honored to work in teams. In my clinic, I have a fantastic team. At the hospital when I work, the teams are just working their butts off, doing their best to do what they can with what they have. And provincially, in this PQI work, we have fantastic, talented teams who are passionate. So what a blessing to be in British Columbia, which is often rated as one of the best places to live. And connecting with nature is always one of the best ways to create a sustainable life, to let go of some of that, the energy that doesn't serve us, by connecting with nature and understanding how small we are on this planet and how small some of our problems really are. And by living in British Columbia, we get to have the oceans, the mountains, the snow, and the sunshine all in the same time, along with a little bit of rain. So I totally maximize and leverage all the different hikes and the snowboarding opportunities and the ocean opportunities, going to Tofino, trying surfing lessons. I go boating. We also have a fantastic jiu-jitsu and martial arts community. Almost every city has martial arts community. And so I leverage all of that to ensure that I'm living a balanced life. And so that I can, when I'm working with my patients, I'm walking the talk. So that's something I've been doing in the recent years since going through some challenging times earlier in my career.
I have to say your podcast is timed perfectly, because He's just replaced his tooth from a jujitsu accident. I wanted him to look like the bruiser he was. Oh, here we go.
Well, yeah.
I just, for those who are listening, I just took out my false tooth and the gap is still there.
My tooth. So it sounds like you have a lot of activities that you engage in and getting out in nature to recharge. And I'm sure, you know, it's a very challenging time to work in healthcare, especially medicine. I'm sure that helps a lot with burnout. And how about you, Hussein? Do you have any particular activities you enjoy that you use to help, you know, protect your mental health and prevent burnout?
I should probably focus on them more. One of them is actually talking to Lawrence, kid you not. I settle down and so you can tell he's got a very profound sort of spiritual nature about him. And honestly, just connecting with people like that. I attempt to meditate as often as possible. But for me, really being quiet on the seawall again, being on that bike or up on the hill to try to step away from life when it sort of is all consuming, which seems to be all consuming. So, you know, doing the best of self-care. Most recently just went away to a yoga and meditation retreat, which was the first for me. And I love that. I'm looking forward to more of that.
Yeah, it sounds lovely. So yeah, lots of good tips and things to do. And like you've mentioned, we're very blessed to be surrounded by amazing nature all across the province. And we're in Northern BC. You guys are down in the Lower Mainland, but lots of opportunities for many activities. And yeah, just again, quiet reflection is great too.
I was just going to say, I uploaded a recent snowboarding video to my LinkedIn. If you want to check it out, just check out Lawrence Yang on LinkedIn.
We will do that. Excellent. Excellent. Well, on that note, it sounds, we've had a great time today, and it's been great to hear about your work and your role and your lives, actually. Clearly, you've shared some fantastic enthusiasm for your role, which I think we've all caught today. But unfortunately, that's all we have time for. And we've unfortunately reached the end of the interview. The closing music is on its way. And so I'd just like to thank you both, Dr. Hussein Kanji and Dr. Lawrence Yang, for coming on today's show. As a token of our thanks, that both of you will be receiving one of our QualityCast North coffee mugs in the post shortly. and if you, the listener, would like to know more about today's guests and topic, please look up the show notes on the website, nhpqi.ca, where you'll also find links to our other episodes. If you enjoyed today's interview, please subscribe to our podcast channel. But until next time, I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Deanna Danskin.
And you've been listening to QualityCast North. Today's episode was hosted and co-produced by Dr. Cher Chewy and Deanna Danskin, with technical support from Matt Walker. Original music by Daniel Chewy and artistic support by Reggie Goodine. QualityCast North is recorded on the traditional territory of the Clay Clayton May First Nation. Check out our other episodes available on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find your podcasts.